When we're having faith in him, he's going to reward us. How is he going to reward us in this situation? He's going to give us the answer to these prayers. When we ask God to stop that virus, God is going to stop that virus. So I have to remind you also not to throw away your confidence in God. Don't throw away your confidence in God. I've been in the stores and I've met a lot of people in and out of those stores. And, you know, they're trying to get a stockpile of food so that they can, you know, however long we have to stay inside, then they want to have enough food for that. But when I look at their faces and I talk to them, their faces are filled with fear. And they don't quite know how to answer when I talk to them. I ask them, are you a Christian? Do you go to church? Haven't you been going to church? Well, then, do you trust God? Do you know God? And most of them don't say anything. They're just that fearful. So I have to remind you also not to throw away your confidence in God and the things of God. You know, keep the faith and truth of the Word of God. You have to keep it in your mouth. You just can't keep it in your Bible. You have to keep it in your mouth. You know, you have to keep the faith when you pray and when you seek God for help. When you pray, pray the words of the Scripture. And when you resist evil, you know, when you resist these evil reports that are going against the Word of God, you know, you have to keep that word that God gave you. God says that no weapons that are formed against you is going to prosper. Now, what you going to believe? You going to believe those reports? Or are you going to come against that devil and you're going to resist that with the word of God? No weapons formed against me shall prosper.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministry at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
God, thanking for his multitudinous grace to us. We believe in God in 2018 for the body of Christ, new breakthroughs, new beginnings, and new blessings. Last week we talked about new breakthroughs, and today we're going to talk about new beginnings. We spoke this morning about new beginnings for 1 Peter, who was one of Jesus' closest disciples, who denied him and who disappointed him and who had fallen to the lowest ebb of life, but he experienced grace and mercy. He repented and was restored and even reassigned. And it's all because he recognized that we serve a just God, but a loving and a merciful God. And so his new beginnings came out of his falls, his, again, disasters and near destructions. And God says to all of us that even in those circumstances, you can still have a new beginning. So I want you to know there's hope for each and every one of us. For the word declares all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that means there's hope for us when we have missed it, when we've fallen short, that God will give us a new beginning if we know how to humble ourselves and repent, that he's able to restore us. I want to talk about today in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, new beginnings with a different twist, because Peter's new beginning was because of his failure. But Joshua's new beginning is because of his promotion. And you need to know, my brothers and sisters, God is watching and God knows all things. And that's why promotion comes from the Lord. Amen. So when we look at this word, Joshua 1 and 8, it simply says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou have make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." For just a little while, I want to talk about new beginnings. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Joshua receives a word from the Lord that Moses, God's servant, God's minister, is dead. And he shares with Joshua this reality because Joshua was Moses' minister or assistant. And Joshua was faithful, he was committed, he was dedicated, and he was trusting. And God needed somebody who could take the place of Moses. One of the things, my brothers and sisters, that you don't need to tell God is who is best qualified to lead a movement. God had all of the people in his presence, and he chose Joshua. You do remember Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies that Moses sent out to spy the land of Canaan. And Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report that yes, the land flows with milk and honey, and it is a walled city with great houses, and on and on and on was the report. And Caleb said, "Let us go up and possess it at once, for we be well able." But there were 10 other spies who were sent, and they saw what Joshua and Caleb saw, but they also saw something that Joshua and Caleb didn't pay attention to. They saw giants. And they were fearful, for they said, "We were as grasshoppers in our own sight." And they were fearful of the land because of giants. Now, because Joshua was a young warrior and Caleb was a wise man of wisdom, those two were fit to bring back a good report. And Moses went on the good report and not the negative report. Can I tell you, if giants are in your land and God did not pre-warn you of the giants, if he wasn't worried about them, you ought not be worried either. The only reason he left the giants in the land was until the people of God came to possess their land. He kept them there to take care of the land, to till the ground, to make sure that everything was intact and in place. So when the people of God came, they could simply begin to possess the land. Joshua was one of those kind of souls, one of those kind of spirits that God knew would honor his word and would not be fearful of what his eyes could see, but rather what God said in his word. So now, let's go through this word right quickly, if you don't mind. And I want to show you three things about this word that I believe will be helpful for us in new beginnings and with new promotions and with us looking to be elevated in the Lord. One of the things that's first about Joshua is the fact that Joshua was faithful and Joshua was committed and Joshua was dedicated, and obviously that pleased God. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it does not matter who it does not please if God is pleased. We spend too much time worrying about what man thinks about us and how man feels about us and what is his opinion of us, when we ought to be worried about God's opinion of us. And do we please God? And what does God have to say? And so God tells Joshua in this 8th verse, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Listen, but when he tells him this, he's making clear to Joshua that, "Joshua, I want you to learn how to speak the word." Speak the word. Somebody say, "Speak the word." You see, if we're going to have any power over the enemy, over demons, over the wickedness of this world, we're going to have to learn to speak with the power of God's word, to utilize the authority of God's word. God wanted Joshua to know his word so well that when he opened up his mouth, he would speak as one having authority. It would be the word of God to lead the people of God in the way that God would have them led. So listen to what he says. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Now, why is this important? Because one of the things God is sharing with Joshua is, I don't want you to just quote my word. I want you to know my word. I want, no matter what comes up in your life, for you to be able to reference my word, to be able to use my word as the final authority of what will be done. Because as people of the God of God, we desire to know what pleases God and what God wants us to do on his behalf. How can you know it if you don't know his word? That's why the enemy tricks so many of us and misleads so many of us and deceives so many of us, because we don't know God's word. And then when we speak, we're speaking feelings and we're speaking emotions and we're speaking things we heard from others and things we've seen, and we're speaking everything but the powerful word of God. And so God wants Joshua to know, if you're going to be successful, you have got to learn how to speak the word of God. Can I tell you, Satan is moved by what you say if what you say doesn't come from God. You see, the only way you're going to have the ability to come against and to conquer Satan is if you have the word of God, and you can use that word as the sword, and you can cut down every attempt of the enemy to destroy you with the power of your word. Why? Because the world and everything in this world came into existence by the speaking of the word. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Why? What is it saying? That everything we see was spoken. Everything that you see was spoken before it manifested. And so if you're going to learn the power of spiritual speech, speech that defeats the enemy, speech that tears down Satan's kingdom, you're going to have to learn the word of God. This word shall not depart out of thy mouth. Don't let anything, when you represent God, come out of your mouth that's not pleasing to God. God can't work on your behalf when you're not working on his behalf. That's why so many of us fail, and that's why so many of us perish, because we have a lack of knowledge. We are destroyed because we have a lack of knowledge. Now listen, you didn't have to come to church with your Bible this morning, but you ought to at least have the word in your heart. Because listen to this, when the enemy attacks you, just because you have a Bible in your hand, don't mean that you can open it up and find the scripture and try to come at the devil with that. It's got to be underneath the skin. It's got to be on the inside of you already. The devil knows who's real and who's not real. When the seven sons of Sceva tried to use the name of Jesus and the authority of Jesus, like Paul had done, they discovered that the demons understood the word and those who were authorized to use the word and who knew the word, and they trembled and feared at the name of Jesus by authorized users of the word. And they had seen Paul cast out demons. They had seen Paul speak with authority. They had seen Paul speak those things that be not as though they were. And they were excited about that. And they said, listen, man, this is good. We want to have the effect that Paul has. And guess what they did? They tried to use the word without having the connection. And see, when they did that, the demons checked their record in hell. Because you don't, when you're saved, you get three copies. One is in heaven, one goes to you, and one goes to hell, to Satan. And they checked their reference and found out these folk playing church. And the Bible says that those demons jumped on the seven sons of Sceva and beat them so bad that they ran out the house naked. Beat the clothes off of them. Can I tell you, you can't play with spiritual warfare. Satan knows who's real and he knows who is not real. And you've got to be ready with the word on the inside of you, because it is the word that you have that God has given to you that is going to operate in this earth realm and cause the effects that God wants to happen through you. Second part about it was, not only does he want you to speak the word, but he wants you to live the word, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Live the word. God doesn't want you just to speak the word. See, speaking the word without living the word does not give you power. It's when your walk and your talk harmonizes that the power of God comes upon your life. And when you speak, things happen. Because heaven is there to back up what you've said, because what you have said is what God has ordained. If you're going to be victorious in this year, if you're going to be an overcomer in this year, if you're going to be a conqueror in this year, if you're going to have new beginnings in this year, you're going to have to learn the word of God, because the enemy is ramping up and amping up all of his artillery against the church of God, because he's gotten word that Jesus is on his way back and he wants to destroy as many of the people of God as he can who's not sincere about God's word. They're not sincere because they're not speaking the word, nor are they living the word. And that's a double negative. Listen at this, my brothers and sisters. When God told Joshua, the reason I want you to study day and night is that you might do what you're studying. The word is not just to know, the word is to show through your life. The best power of the word is a word lived life. A word lived life. If people can see your love through your life, if people can see your witness through your life, if people can see your giving through your life, if people can see your prayer life through your life, if people can see your power through your life, that will do more to convert folk to the kingdom of God than just your words. Because you become an example for others to see. And God wanted Joshua to be the example before Israel, the example that would trust God, believe God, that those things that God said he would do if we obeyed and honored him. And then the third part of this thing that I want to speak about is where he tells him, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Now catch this, because this is talking about the success of the word. You see, God gives us the ability to speak his word and live his word so that we can get the success from the word. You don't think God just have you learning this and saying this to be saying it. But it's so that that word can come to fruition and the promises can come to fruition and everything that God said he would do, he will do, and he'll do it for you who honor him through his word. Listen, if he tells him, for then shalt thou, you, make your own way prosperous, then you know what that says to me? That God wants you to know that you need to take responsibility for the choices you make, the decisions you make, for the success that you have, or the failures that you have. Because it's up to you whether or not you are prosperous or not. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. God is saying to you, you know what? Stop crying and whining to the Lord. Lord, I need this. I need you to do this. Lord, do this for me. Do that for me. Lord is saying, what are you doing? Stop hating and being envious because of what God has blessed some other folk who got busy and put the word of God into action and began to receive what they believed from the Lord. What he's done for them, he'll do for you if you utilize his word like they have utilized his word. And so when you see that God is saying to you, you can change your own situation depending on whether or not you speak and live the word of God, then you can make your way prosperous. Isn't it wonderful to know that man isn't in control of your future? Do you know there are some people who don't want you to prosper? Some people who don't want you to be victorious? Some people don't want to see you blessed. Some people don't want to see you on top. Don't want to see you with the things that God desires for you. And listen, they can't do nothing about it when you do what God has called you to do. David is proof of that in the 23rd Psalm. Look at what he says. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, what enemies are they? It was the same ones who said when he went in the valley, he wasn't coming out. Do you know every time you go through something, you got some enemies betting on you that you're not going to make it through, that you're not going to come out, that you're not going to have a wonderful, successful exit out of the troubles you're going through? But the devil is a liar. When the people of God trust God and know God is right there with them, they will come through the valley of the shadow of death every time. And God will celebrate them. And I'm glad about that, because every now and then we've got the wrong people celebrating us. Got folk who are celebrating you who aren't really celebrating you. But aren't you glad to know that when God celebrates you, you're worthy of the celebration? And he dresses your table with everything that you like and what your enemies would love as well. But it's off limits to them, because this party is for you. When you've come through the valley, when you come through your dark days, when you come through your trials and your tribulation and nobody else celebrates you, God will celebrate you like nobody else can. Hallelujah to the Lamb. There are those who will hate you without a cause. And Jesus said that in John 15, listen, and 25. He knew that. But thanks be to God that God is on the side of the righteous. On the side of the righteous. And listen at this. He says, you are in control of your future. And when you know that you are in control of your future, then it changes the whole paradigm of which you have formerly functioned.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and